Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So it has finished England 0, Scotland 0. I'm standing outside a very wet Wembley Stadium. And the mood is one of slight disappointment from the England fans. Of course, we'd have loved to have won this game. But Scotland fans are absolutely buzzing. They're making a lot of noise here on Wembley Way. Scotland fans very, very happy. Worth pointing out, England still on 4 points after 2 games, so all to play for. This is the official England podcast. Grab yourself a brew. Let's crack on as we get straight into all the reaction from the game.
I'll be joined by Duncan Alexander, who'll be bringing us all the best stats from the England versus Scotland match, as well as reasons to remain optimistic.
We've got a predictions model on theanalyst.com, and that's got England at 99.92% chance of qualifying for the next round. So that's kind of job done, really.
England manager Gareth Southgate spoke to the media at the press conference yesterday.
You know, there's a lot of young players that need the support of everybody. Most of them haven't been involved in a game like that before, and they are unique occasions. They'll learn a lot, they'll bounce back from it, but they need everybody behind them.
And we'll also hear from the three lines. Number one, Jordan Pickford.
We've got 4 points, we're still in control of the group. We've got to get ready for Czech Republic now.
Right, let's get stuck into it. So it was England manager Gareth Southgate and our number one Jordan Pickford who spoke with the media after the match. And here's what they had to say.
Yeah, obviously it's a massive game, you know. And we want to take all 3 points every game we play and we want to win the game. But the biggest thing tonight was if we can't win it, don't get beat. And, you know, the resilience of keeping a clean sheet from the lads. That's what we did, you know. We've got 4 points. We're still in control of the group. We've got to get ready for Czech Republic now. Yeah, I thought I did a good performance, you know. I think I made one good save and come and commanded a few crosses. They put a lot of pressure on it. But it's just about being in that moment as a goalkeeper and helping your teammates out. And I felt like I did that tonight and another clean sheet, which I'm pleased with.
Well, I think it's probably a fair scoreline, first and foremost. We didn't do enough to win the game, didn't create enough clear-cut chances to win the game, but I don't think we deserve to lose it either. Huge credit to Scotland. I thought they defended extremely well and they used the ball well. We couldn't find the solutions. We had moments down the sides, which is where the spaces were against them, but we weren't able to exploit those spaces. And in the end, as I said, not enough to win. But this is a tournament and it's critical when you can't win not to lose. And that's, of course, feels difficult in the last 15 minutes of a game like tonight where fans are desperate for you to go forward and abandon all shape because, of course, it's Scotland. It feels like a unique occasion, but we have to still approach it in the context that a point is still an important step towards qualification, and ultimately, qualification is the first objective for us. I think the whole team, you know, we have got to look at the whole performance and our use of the ball and, you know, review where we can be better, and that's right across the board. So it's not just about one person. It's Scotland, I thought, marked him extremely well. With the back five, there isn't a lot of space. And, of course, they managed to, you know, anything that was played up, they were aggressive, they defended well. So tonight we couldn't find the answers. We got to go away, review the game and find those answers for the game with Czech Republic. I would say we had a fourth attacking player in Mount throughout the whole game. So I think in those moments, if we had to chase to win with no consequence for conceding, then you might approach it differently. Or if we were behind in the game and we were chasing. But all the time, it's a night where it was a bit frantic. It wasn't a game where there was a huge amount of control. And you've got to make sure that sitting on 3 points as we did, we manage the tournament as well as the game. And it's easy to gamble towards the end and lose shape and then end up losing the game in the last 5 minutes. And then you're kicking yourself for, you know, not managing the tournament. And I understand we're at Wembley. It's a game against Scotland where everybody wants us to win. We wanted to win. But it is in the context of a tournament, and the qualification is the first and the most important thing. I think the timing of our movement rotation patterns could have been better at times. I think we could have been a bit more decisive in our decision making in those areas. But again, I think Scotland also defended those areas really well, and as even towards the end, the one against one situations, they always had a second or a third man across. So look, it's a game we know we didn't hit the level we wanted to or need to, but tonight we have to accept whatever comes our way. All I would say is, you know, I'm totally understanding that as the manager. I totally understand anything that comes my way. What we need to do is make sure we get behind the players, because you know, there's a lot of young players that need the support of everybody. Most of them haven't been involved in a game like that before, and they are unique occasions. They'll learn a lot, they'll bounce back from it, but they need everybody behind them. Oh, I think our fans are entitled to react however they want, and we're disappointed with our own performance, and I totally understand their reaction. We're expected to beat Scotland. They'll be frustrated by that. And, in the end, we've got to live with that and deal with that. We know where we sit in the group. We know that we have a lot of work to do to improve our performances. But also we know in the context of qualification, 4 points from two matches, we're in a strong position. So we have to, you know, make sure that we get the third game right and make the right decisions around that. Of course, there's always fallout from any England performance that isn't at the level you want or doesn't get the result that you want. But we are in the middle of a tournament. We are in the middle of a qualification group. We totally understand the reaction tonight, but our first objective is to qualify, and we're still on track to do that. I said before, just because you're at home doesn't mean that you win. You have to play well, and on Sunday we played well and we got the result we deserved. Tonight we didn't play as well, but we have to accept that. As I said, I accept that as the manager, and we learn from the experience, and we have a different sort of challenge now against the Czechs. At times got them on the back foot, drove into the penalty area a couple of times. So again, I think with Jack, we've got to be realistic about what our expectations are with him when he goes into a game. We know he can help us to open up a defence in those sorts of moments. He nearly managed that a couple of times, but again, I thought Scotland defended very well against him. So I was pleased with what he did when he went on.
You're listening to the official England podcast.
So not the best result for England, but one man who'll certainly be very happy with that result is, of course, football expert and big Scotland fan, Graham Hunter. He was my guest on the official England podcast yesterday, and here's what he said when I asked him for a prediction.
It's anti-football and it's not very Scottish, but I'll take 0-0. I want 0-0. You're not going to make me build up my hopes and say, yes, we're going to win this. I don't know. I want 0-0. I want a point.
0-0, 4 points from two games. So there's still reasons to remain positive. And I'm pleased to say, joining me on the Official England podcast now from theanalyst.com is Opta's very own Duncan Alexander. Duncan, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you? Enjoy the game?
Yes, not bad. I did enjoy the game. It's slightly disappointing, obviously, not to get the win with the talent we have in this squad. But I'm trying to remain optimistic, mate, because we have 4 points after two games. So there's reason to be optimistic. What did you make of the game? Where did you watch the game, firstly?
Well, I toyed with going to Leicester Square, but yeah, just watched it at home in the end. So,
so you were drier than I was then, probably.
Much, much drier, yeah. I think it's one of those games where the end result is the storyline more than what actually happened in the game. If you think back to the start, England started pretty well. They had three shots in the first sort of 12 minutes. John Stones hit the post. Mason Mount had a really good chance. We just couldn't quite open his right foot up enough to get it on target. If one of those had gone in, obviously it'd be different. But I think, you know, England would have had a lot more space to play with because Scotland would have had to come out. So, they did labour a little bit to create that many chances, I guess, overall. But as you say, 4 points from two games isn't a disaster.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm walking out of Wembley Way, Duncan, is just the Scotland fans, I mean, they know how to have a party. We know that. But the bagpipes were going, they were singing, they were celebrating. You can see just what it means for Scotland to get the point. And I think that is testament to, you know, how strong this England team are, or certainly the perception from opposition fans and players of this England team. It was a shame. I'm not going to pretend, you know, we're buzzing with 0-0. It was a shame we couldn't get the win. But looking how happy these Scotland fans are, they're buzzing with the point, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot better than Euro 96 for them, let's be honest. So,
But give us some reasons to remain positive anyway. Come on, you're here with your statistical insight. I want you to give me some stats that are going to make me go home very positive, and all our listeners feel very positive this evening.
Well, I'll do my best. My power's only stretched so far. But I mean, if you think back a few days, or even before the tournament, everyone was saying, well, actually, it might be better for England to come second in the group because that opens up an easier path, potentially. And now England are second, you know, play Czech Republic in their last game. If they draw that, they'll come second. So that's, you know, that's one thing to do. I think the other thing as well is this is the only international football fixture that's older than milk chocolate. Obviously, it was first played in 1870.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I love it. Where did you get that from?
The Milk Chocolate Marketing Board, maybe. But and this is one of the tastiest, fixtures on the calendar when it comes around. And I think, in a sense, we can't like build up this game as this sort of local derby, this passionate clash between two ancient enemies, and not expect the game to be a little bit scrappy. I think that if you go back and watch the first half from U96, England didn't play very well in that game, and England Scotland games over the years have not been classic. Some of the results are very memorable, but you can count on the fingers of one hand the number of truly classic performances by either team in this fixture. I mean, they're so rare that most of them have got their own Wikipedia page. So I think it'd be very churlish to kind of judge England overall in this tournament just on this one game. I think this is almost like a unique sort of game within the tournament. I think, you know, we've got a predictions model on theanalyst.com.
Yeah.
And that's got England 99.92% chance of qualifying for the next round. So that's kind of job done, really.
I like that. That's a good percentage. But I also, Dunk, the other thing is we had Graham Hunter, obviously he's a Spanish and Scottish football expert, and he made the point that they're very rarely nil-nils in this fix. We don't see nil-nils, do we? So I don't know whether we jinxed it on the podcast by saying, well, you know, we expect goals galore, because there's usually goals in this fix. So I suppose that was the surprise with tonight's result.
Yeah, I mean, I take some blame as well. I jinxed it, I think. I did a big article.
You did, yeah.
Saying that, obviously, the first ever game between England and Scotland in front of 2,000 fans ended 0-0, which is strange given that they'd only legislated goalkeeping as a position a year before. So you'd expect goals in that scenario. And there's only been two since until today. So, in fact, none of the England players in the squad were born the last time these two teams drew 0-0. So it just shows how rare it is. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's tournament football, isn't it? You play each game on its own merits, and you kind of scrape through and you see what happens. Spain won the World Cup in 2010, losing their first game and scoring eight goals all tournament. So, but no one really brings that up now.
And I'm right in thinking Portugal, who are the holders, they won the last Euros, having only won one game in 90 minutes. Have I statistically got that right?
You are spot on there. And they didn't even they didn't even win a group game. They drew all three games. So, you know, I'm sure there were Portuguese.
So reasons for England fans to remain optimistic then is what we're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure Portugal drew 3-3 with Hungary in 2016. And I'm sure the Portuguese Twitter was alive to the sounds of, you know, they don't know what they're doing, how this team, what's going on. And then a couple of weeks later, they were champions of Europe. So, yeah, I think tournaments aren't like league seasons. It's not like the best team or the most consistent team comes out on top all the time. It's a series of random events in a short period of time. And what you really need is match winners. And yeah, maybe England didn't use their match winners tonight to their best capabilities, but I think they've still got a very deep squad with a lot of options.
It's an interesting group now, isn't it, Duncan? Because obviously the game against Czech Republic is a huge game now, given the fact that the Czechs and England are both on 4 points, given the early result between Czechs and Croatia. So it's a really big game, that, isn't it? How do you see that one going?
Yeah, I mean, the Czech Republic, I don't know how many people watched the game against Croatia today, but they weren't very ambitious in that match. It almost felt like once Croatia had equalised, the two of them kind of a point sort of suited both of them in a sense. I mean, they're both, you know, very much alive going into the final day. And I think a lot of how the final day in Group D will go will sort of be set up by how Group F goes on Saturday or today when this podcast comes out. Because then after Portugal, Germany and France play again, we'll kind of see how that group is shaping up. And I think, you know, if England and Czech Republic go into that last game knowing that whoever wins is going to play, you know, France, for instance, that might affect how teams set up a little bit and how much
players rotate.
So I think this is the thing about tournaments, which is very different to league football and even things like the Champions League, is that there's so few matches that, you know, the little machinations with it, with fixtures and draws and routes really do make a big difference.
Yeah, I just wanted to, but before we let you go, I know that it's very late in the evening, but I wanted to get your thoughts and maybe your sort of some stats as to who you've been most impressed with, because we've seen every team play now, many teams playing twice already. Who have you been most impressed with, and what do the stats sort of say in terms of the teams to fear within this tournament?
I think obviously Italy have been probably the most impressive team. You know, they'd never scored more than two goals in a Euros game ever until this tournament. They've won both games 3-0, which is, you know, very unusual for them.
Wow.
I think Belgium have looked pretty good going forward. I mean, we saw, you know, if you can bring...
Great team goal, that Belgium goal. Great
magnificent.
Team goal.
And if you can bring the likes of De Bruyne, you know, Witzel and Hazard off the bench, that's pretty decent. So, but I think it's, you know, Netherlands as well have looked pretty good. And I think you've seen, I think particularly with Netherlands and Italy, two teams that have struggled to qualify for tournaments recently. But obviously have a lot of football heritage. And you can see that they're playing with a lot of freedom and a lot of confidence. And I think, you know, if there is a criticism of England tonight, it's that they maybe did look a little bit cautious and maybe a little bit overawed by the kind of intensity of the occasion. And I think that's maybe why the Czech Republic game could be a good one to kind of, you know, get everyone back in their groove again.
Duncan, absolute pleasure to speak to you as always. Thank you. I think you sort of echoed my sentiments there. Obviously, we'd have liked to have won the game, but reason still to be optimistic as England fans.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Okay, that is all we have time for on the official England podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode as we reflected on that 0-0 result with Scotland here at Wembley. I've just about dried off and we're now looking ahead to that game against Czech Republic. It's a huge game, isn't it? Both teams on 4 points, and we will be back every single day with a new episode. And a new episode means more exclusive access to the Three Lions camp. If you haven't subscribed already, what are you waiting for? This is literally the only place where you can get exclusive daily access to the England team. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Stay safe. See you tomorrow. And come on, England.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.